morning. Certainly good to see each and every person that's here this morning that gave up something that they might have wanted to do or needed to do to make it a point to come out here to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're very, very thankful for your presence. We hope something will be said this morning that will be uplifting and edifying to you and that will help you in your Christian walk of life. There's a brother in a congregation up in Springer Road Church of Christ in Tennessee. I believe that's where Gail has been worshiping, named Nate Bibbins. And he has a little thing that he sends out every day in an email called Moments with the Master. And it's very good. If you look up Springer Road, you can get that. You can receive that as an email, or you can look at it on Facebook. And what it is, it's just it takes a minute to read. That's why it's called a moment. And he points out to some things that are important for us to remember as Christians, and certainly gives us things to think about throughout the day. And he recently did a couple of moments about Thanksgiving. And of course, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and something that is important for us to remember to be thankful throughout the day and throughout the week for the things that God has blessed us with. So I want to give him credit for being a partial inspiration for what I'd like to talk about this morning. The phrase, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever," is something that's found often throughout the Old Testament. Most of the time it's credited to David. David was a man, as we know, who had many experiences in life, some of them positive, some of them were very negative. But one of the things that David continued to do throughout his life was to give thanks to God. And so this morning for our text, and to start out the lesson on this idea of giving thanks, I'd like to read from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse 7. That's 1 Chronicles 16, beginning in verse 7. All the scriptures I'll be reading this morning will be from the King James translation of the Bible. Back on the stand there where we have our book for visitors, there is a paper back there that has all the scriptures listed that I'm going to use today with the page numbers in the pew Bibles if anyone cares to grab one of those. So we're going to begin reading from 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant. Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, the world also shall be stable, and it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Here David, as he's about to become the king of Israel here, gives this this impassioned speech about God and how great he is and how much we should give him glory and thanks for all that he has done for us. So with these ideas in mind, this is going to be the lesson I'd like to talk about for a brief time this morning, this idea of giving thanks to God for all the blessings that we have. And I'll try not to stray too far off the topic, because this idea of prayer is one that's a very vast topic, and one that I think we need to talk more about. We will try to focus on this idea of giving thanks when we pray. Before we continue, though, we now have an obligation and a privilege of going to God in prayer to make our wants and petitions known unto him, and to offer thanksgiving for the many blessings that we have and continue to be blessed with. So at this time, let us all humble ourselves while the one selected leads us in a word of prayer. So as we mentioned, this phrase, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endureth forever, appears several times in the Old Testament. This again is David acknowledging the many things that God has blessed him with and giving thanks for them. We realize that the world that God created for us is full of good things. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and read that chapter, you see the creation story of how God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, created the heavens and the earth. And after he created each thing, God looked at it and he saw that it was good. And we realize that this often reminds us of the lyrics of the song that we sing here, How Great Thou Art. And I'd like to read a few lines from that song. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and see the brook, and feel the gentle breeze. You ever get a chance to go out and walk through nature, and appreciate nature for what it is, and the creation of God? We understand the magnificence and the power of God and the things that he created. And this is one of the things I think sometimes that we don't often just stop and give thanks for. The fact that God gave us a habitable planet to live on, something I think we need to be mindful that God told Adam and Eve to care for the garden and to care for the earth. And I've never found anywhere in the scriptures where we were relieved from that obligation. So it's important for man to consider what God has given him and to be thankful for it, and also to care for it as the thing that it is. And of course, we realize that that is a blessing. We realize that man has made many great things and many terrible things also out of the things that God has created. Man cannot create out of nothing like God did. God created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. Man does not have the ability to do that. All we can do is make things out of the materials that God has already provided for us on the earth, and many of man's creations have been beneficial to mankind, and many of them have not been. But we realize that all those things were made from the raw materials that God provided. So sometimes when you're out, maybe out taking a walk, or enjoying the park, or enjoying going out into nature, fishing, playing golf, whatever it is that you do to get out and get some exercise, stop and think and thank God for the simple blessing that we take for granted every day. And it's just that we have a nice planet to live on that provides us our continued life. I'd like now to read from James chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. James 1, beginning in verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. And when that lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Not every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creations. Whenever I'm asked to lead the prayer, when we have services here, one of the things that I try to include in my prayer is a reference to what the idea that James is teaching here. And basically what he's telling us is to be careful what we pray for. We may be aware of the popular phrase in our culture today, be careful what you wish for, you may get it. And we need to be mindful of the things that we pray for, and we certainly need to remember to thank God when we pray. And one of the things that I like to include is we thank God when he defeats us from obtaining things that we might want or desire in this life that are contrary to what God would have us to do. And that's what James is trying to teach in this chapter, is like there are things that we might want or desire from time to time in this life that are sinful, and things that we do not want to become involved in, because they will lead us down the pathway of destruction. And we thank God that he is not only defeats us in those things, but he gives us the understanding and the will to resist those temptations and to make sure that they're no longer a part of our lives. I'd like now to read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. Luke 18, beginning in verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Here we see Jesus clearly illustrates that there is a right and a wrong way to pray. This Pharisee went down, and one of the things that he was doing wrong, obviously, was he was making a big production out of his prayer, as the Pharisees often did, to try to get men to look up to them and to think highly of them. But he also thanked God that he wasn't like other people. And this is not the attitude that we're supposed to have as Christians. Certainly, when we see the sinful lives that other people have, we realize that we don't want to be that way. But in the end, on the day of judgment, God is not going to judge us by how well we've done compared to other people. He's going to judge us by the word of God. And so our attitude of thanks should not be this idea of that this Pharisee had of having spiritual superiority, or thinking that we're higher or better than anybody else. But we should be thankful that God has allowed us to live another day, and that he's blessed us with the many things that he has given. Thanksgiving, we realize, is a very important element of prayer, and something that we should consider each and every time that we pray. Too often, people, especially people that are unlearned in the scriptures, think of prayer as a wish list, or they only go to God when they're in dire circumstances, and all of a sudden God seems to be the only thing that can help them. That's when they decide that they want to pray. Indeed, there are multitudes of people that never even consider to pray unless they're faced with overwhelming circumstances. And this is why when things happen, not unlike the coronavirus situation that we're in right now, the pandemic, or when, think back to 9/11, there are reports that church attendance jumped dramatically after that event. And anytime a war starts, or a natural disaster, or things of this nature, all of a sudden people tend to give God more attention. And anything that would cause somebody to think about God and consider God more should not necessarily be considered a bad thing, but it's people don't follow through with that. Once the situation calms down or changes, and then all of a sudden they go back to neglecting God and not even giving God a second thought. So we realize that prayer is something that connects us with God, and something that's vital to, it's vital for us as His children to have a healthy prayer life and a life that's reflected in prayer on the right things to pray for and the right attitude with which we approach God in prayer. I'd like now to turn back to the Old Testament. I'd like to read from Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Job chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. To me, this has always been one of the most dramatic stories in the Bible of someone who was just totally and completely devoted to God. We know the story very well. Job was a very wealthy man. He had crops. He had livestock. He had he had a lot of children. He had, well, I guess what we would say, he had it all. He was very blessed, so much so that Satan approached God and tried to get God to allow him to vex Job so that he would turn against God. It was kind of, I guess if you want to look at it, it was kind of a wager that they had between themselves about how faithful God really was. In the first chapter, Job talks about how time after time, one of Job's servants came to him. And it's like, the Bedouins have fallen on your camels and taken them. The house has fallen on your children and they're all dead. All these terrible things happened to Job one after another. And instead of ranting and cursing God, as his friends later encouraged him to do, and as people often say when something bad happens, why did God let this happen to me? Instead of all that, Job fell down on the ground and thanked God. He prayed to God, and he did not turn his back on God, and it's like he didn't understand what was happening to him, but he still knew that God was who he was and that his faith never wavered. And it's a very strong illustration and a strong example for us. And we know that there are people in this congregation who have had tragic things happen to themselves or within their families, and they're still here. They remain strong. And I don't think that those people are given enough credit, and I don't think that they fully understand the example that they set for everyone else when they look at the things, the tragedies that they've been through, and realize that they're still faithful. It's a very powerful example to those of us who are blessed enough that we haven't had to endure those things. And so if you're someone who's experienced that and you're still here, faithful to God, understand that your example is appreciated, even if you're not told that. It's certainly something for all of us to aspire to have that kind of faith. It seems the more time passes, the more man becomes fixated on the material things of life. As we mentioned, Job was one who was very blessed in material things, but when those things were gone, his faith remained. But we live in a culture, especially in this country, of keeping up with the Joneses. Our whole economy seems to support the idea of bigger, faster, better, more. People use things to fill a void in their lives where God really ought to be. Sometimes we're so focused on obtaining things and the more kind of lifestyle that most Americans have, where they're able to take time out of working and their survival to enjoy the things of life. Sometimes they get too focused on that, and they try to fill their lives with those things instead of seeking out God, which is really what they ought to do. I'd like now to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, and he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this administration they glorify God for your professed subjection into the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift that Paul's referring to here, of course, is the gift that God gave us of Jesus, his son. He's writing here to the Corinthians to encourage them to lay by in store for the support of the saints in Jerusalem who were suffering because of a terrible drought that had afflicted that area for a number of years. And as Paul had gone about establishing these congregations, one of the things that they were told to do is lay by in store. And one of the reasons why they were to do that was so that they could help the Jews back in Jerusalem, or the Christians, I'm sorry, back in Jerusalem, who were suffering want because of the situation that was there. Now, Paul appealed to the Christians in Corinth in this letter to give of their means. He explained elsewhere in his letter that the congregations in Macedonia, which consisted of the Philippians, the Thessalonians, and the Bereans, had been giving very generously to this cause, even though they lived in an impoverished area and oftentimes were sacrificing of their own needs to help these other Christians as well. The Corinthians were in a better position financially where they lived. They lived in a trade city that was that had commerce flowing through it constantly, and so they were better off financially. And they expressed their thanksgiving to God for the blessings that he had given them by sharing in those blessings. And that's what we're encouraged to do on the first day of the week. That's something that we know that is still continued throughout the brotherhood, is to give as we've been allowed to prosper. And that is a way that we show thanks for the blessings that God has given us. So we should consider throughout the week those things that God has blessed us with, and then be willing and able to share those blessings with others. And this is something I think that we don't often give enough thought to, and this is getting off the subject a little bit, but I just want to mention this for just a moment, is the idea of really thinking about what it is that we give. We put a great deal of importance when we have the communion service on having the right mind and being in the spirit and being have our thoughts focused on the sacrifice that Jesus made for our sins when we partake of the communion. We should have that same attitude about how we give. I know personally for my wife and I, because we are freelance artists and we don't have a paycheck from week to week. It's something we have to think more about because we have different amounts of money coming in on any given week, and so we have to put a little more thought into that. I have people that have a fixed income or a salary. I remember my mother-in-law sitting down every Saturday evening and writing out a check because she was on a fixed income and she knew exactly how much she was going to give. But we need to think about how God has blessed us and how we can show our thanks for that by what we give back to God through the collection. And of course, we know that this money is used to perpetuate the congregation here as well as support other Christians who are in need, just as the collection that was taken up in the first century church was used to help Christians in less fortunate areas or less fortunate circumstances. I'd like now to read from Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therein to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Paul here writing to the Philippians, again, a congregation that was in a poor economic situation and yet reached out to support Paul in his ministry. He writes to them telling them that he appreciates their support and that he has learned to be content and thankful regardless of what his situation is. And this is something, again, it's hard for us sometimes when when things are bad. We look at the things that are going on in our country today with so many people losing their jobs because of the pandemic and people struggling. And we realize that at any given time, the same thing could happen to us. And Paul is saying that whatever his situation was, that he learned to be content. And we're going to read later that Paul went through some very trying situations, and yet he always took time to be thankful to God for the things that God had blessed him with. And this, of course, is an attitude that we should adopt as well. I'd like now to read from Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. But sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now some people might read this and think if you become a Christian, you're going to get a gift card from Amazon or some a big pile of money that you can support yourself with, and that's not what Jesus is saying here. He's saying we need to put God first. If we put God first, all these other things will come to us later. They might not always come when we want. It might not always be what we want. But God will bless us if we endeavor to serve and to worship him. And again, and even when things don't seem like they're going the way we want them to, if we thank God for the current situation and the current health and that we have, it helps us to understand that God is in control of all things. John chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. John 6, beginning in verse 10. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise to the fishes as much as they would. So we see here that Jesus, as he about to feed the multitude, he gives thanks for the food. Most of us today, as we mentioned, in a prosperous country like this, most of us, I'm relatively sure, just take our next meal for granted. We don't give much thought to the fact that the next time that we need to eat, we're going to be able to have food to eat. But we should never neglect to thank God for even this simple blessing that he gives us. Sometimes we might ask ourselves, how often do I need to pray? Well, certainly we should pray every time we're about to eat a meal, because we should acknowledge and thank God for the fact that we do have that meal that we can nourish our bodies and use that continued strength to endeavor to serve him. Acts chapter 27, excuse me, beginning in verse 33. Acts 27, beginning in verse 33. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that we have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Therefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is your help. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Paul here at this time was a prisoner. He was being taken to Rome as he had, after he had been arrested, he had declared to the magistrates in the city where he was arrested that he was a Roman citizen, and he wanted to take his case all the way to Caesar. As today we would say, we want to take a case to the Supreme Court. Paul wanted to take his case all the way to the Roman Emperor, to try to influence as many people as he could to be Christians. And so he was a prisoner that was being transported to Rome, and he was on a ship, and he had warned the people that were the Romans that were taking him to Rome that it was not a good time to travel, and they insisted on going, and then they ended up in a storm, and so for now 2 weeks they've been stranded on this ship. The skies are cloudy; they don't know where they're at. They don't know where land is at. They don't know how long they're going to be at sea before they finally end up drifting into land. And Paul assures them that he's been told through the Holy Spirit that none of them are going to perish. And so after 2 weeks of not eating, he encourages them to eat. And you would think if you hadn't eaten for 2 weeks, the first thing you'd want to do is start stuffing food in your mouth. And yet Paul pauses to give thanks. And we might step back from that situation and think, would I be able to be thankful for what little bit of food I had if I was on a ship and I didn't know if I was going to live or not? But it's the importance of giving thanks was demonstrated by Paul here, that no matter what your situation is, you need to stop and thank God for the things that he blesses you with. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. We realize if we look back in the Old Testament, under the law of Moses, there were many dietary laws that they had. There are many members of the animal kingdom that were considered unclean and were forbidden to be eaten by the Jews. We realize that those restrictions no longer apply under the new covenant. We remember the how Peter had a vision of being offered a bunch of different animals that were on that list of restrictions, and he was offered, he was told to take and eat. And he realized that this was a illustration to him that God was going to accept the Gentiles into Christianity. But as someone who really likes bacon and shrimp, I'm glad that those restrictions no longer apply. God freed that up, and he said, whatever we eat, we should eat it with thanksgiving. And of course, this idea again, remembering to acknowledge God and to thank him for our food when we're about to eat. Our time is running out, so we're not going to read this particular passage of scripture, but if you, on your own time, if you go back to Nehemiah, the 12th chapter, and read verses 31 through 43, we read there about the Jews after I believe it was Darius the Median, who had conquered Babylon. He allowed both Nehemiah and Ezra to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the city and to rebuild the temple. And in those verses, it talks about how the Jews gave thanks to God for allowing them to re-inhabit their city and for the resources and the ability he had given them to rebuild the city. And so anytime that we are doing something and we accomplish something, or we have we get a raise in our job or a promotion in our job, or we get an opportunity to improve and enrich our lives through our employment or things of this nature, again, these are things that we should remember to thank God for. Thank God for the blessing that he has given us, that we can work towards sustaining our lives and our families. And if we want to do something and God gives us the ability to do it, and it's a goal of projects around our house or anything like that, we should remember to thank God for giving us the blessing of being able to do that. We also read in the scriptures that we should be thankful for all people. We're going to read now from 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and veridity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. This one may seem hard for us at times to remember to pray for everyone, but this is something we need to be thankful for, all that we have, and regardless of our situation, to thank God for the many blessings that He has given us, and not to use prayer as a tool only to go to God and ask Him for things that we want, but to thank Him for all that we have. The last scripture I'd like to quote from this morning is from James chapter 5, begin reading in verse 13. James 5, beginning in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. If any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Certainly, our health is one of the things that we should remember to thank God for. We're ready and able to go to God and pray when we're afflicted, when we're in pain, or when one of our family members or friends is suffering. But we should also thank God for the health that He has blessed us with, and not to take that for granted, because we know at any time things can happen to us, whether it's an illness or an accident, can drastically alter our health. And so we should always remember to be thankful for God for the portion of health that He has allowed us to have. There was a song that we used to sing when I was growing up. As most of you know, I grew up and I was raised as a Catholic. There was a song that they sang that was just, it was almost heartbreaking to me when I heard this song being sung. And it took me a long time to find it, because I wanted to use part of it in a lesson before, and I finally found it this week. The name of the song is "But Then Comes the Morning," and it was written by Joseph Wise. And the refrain of that song is this: Lord, teach us to pray. It's been a long and cold December kind of day. With our hearts and hands all busy in our private little wars, we stand and watch each other now from separate shores. We lose the way. Let us never find ourselves in this condition where we have to ask for God to teach us how to pray. Let us know how to pray, and let us understand how important prayer is. As we read in our last reading in James, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God hears the prayers of the righteous, and we understand if we want Him to hear our prayers, that we have to be righteous. And we become righteous when we become His child. We realize that if we hear the Word of God, if we believe what the Word of God says, it should cause within us a repentance, a desire to change the way that we've been living, to give up the life of sin and the other things that cause us to stay, the things that distance us from God, and to desire to be a child of His. We then realize that if we repent of that way, that we can confess before men that we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We can then be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. We come up out of that water a new creature, a righteous creature in God's sight, and one who has the ability to pray to God through Jesus, to make their wants and petitions known unto Him, and to offer thanksgiving for the things that He has blessed us with. We also realize that if we have taken those steps, if we become a Christian, that from time to time things happen, temptations and trials overcome us, and we become weak and we fail. And we realize that if that's something of a public nature, that we confess our faults, as we mentioned, we can pray one for another for strength and guidance and for God's mercy on us, and that God will forgive those things and remember them against us no more. And we can then begin to get back on the right path, a path that will lead us to a better life, a life that will enrich others, and a life that one day could secure us a home in heaven. So if there be with those who desire the services of the church, won't you come this morning while we stand and sing the invitation song?